glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, March 5th, 2019.
Happy Tuesday, Mark.
Happy Tuesday, Marianne. Happy Tuesday, everyone.
Yeah.
Here we are. Well, a lot to talk about.
There is.
A lot to share about, a lot to convey. But let me begin with maybe some shout-outs for some of our new advertisers.
Okay.
I know tomorrow we're going to have a special guest in the studio, Kathleen Jennings, to read her story. And it's a long and lengthy one,
mm-hmm.
so we got to save time for her tomorrow. So let me do a few shout-outs for our beloved Prime Lifetimes paper. And I say beloved because we really do love it, and we know many people that are reading it say they love it.
That from the beginning.
I know. I love saying our beloved. I think the only other person I know that uses that word a lot is Kay Arthur.
Oh,
like,
nice.
I think she refers to people, my beloved, all the time.
Yeah,
she has a book
also,
Israel, My Beloved, I think. But I do call the Prime Lifetimes paper our beloved paper for a number of reasons. I think God is using it in very unique ways, and we love seeing how he's using it. We love the accessibility, how it's throughout all the area now, picking up more locations into Indiana. The content contributors, they're a wonderful bunch of people that are submitting these great stories. You have a passion and heart for it, so I know you love it very much.
Yeah.
We have a great loving team. In fact, we'll have a meeting in a little while here.
Yeah.
Our whole team comes together, our ever-growing sales team and our editorial team and a whole group comes together here. And
it's pretty lively.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good meeting. Anyways, so I want to do a couple shout-outs. Richard Berkey, who has been working in the Indiana area and up in and around Hoopston, he got the Crossroads Family Restaurant in Attica, Indiana. They'll be featured this month and the next couple months. So we appreciate that restaurant located at 606 South Council Street in Attica, Indiana. And then Service Master Clean, they came on board for the next few months, and so they provide services throughout Champaign, Urbana, and the surrounding areas. Everything from like industrial cleaning to churches to malls to small businesses to homes. So
you're making me think how I need to have my carpets cleaned.
Yeah, they do it all. Then the Danville Downtown Event Center, I went to their grand opening last Friday.
Oh.
They opened March 1st.
Yeah.
And they're providing, I think, every other week, like a Sunday brunch, and they're doing the first Friday of every month. They have like a dinner special, and I met their owner, Mary Lewis, and she's like a hard working and she does all this like from scratch. So it's all like homemade food. And I said, so will you have this all again next month? She goes, it's whatever I feel like cooking or making.
Hey,
so
that's a cook.
When it runs out, it runs out.
Oh, dear.
She had a really good spread.
How nice.
So they'll have many events and activities, and they'll allow people to be able to utilize the space or rent it and then put on their parties or activities. It's right in downtown Danville, 38 North Vermilion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's right in the middle of the city, so access to all the other businesses right around. And then Bowie Chiropractic is coming on for the next 6 months, Dr. Kevin Bowie. And obviously being a chiropractor, he works with putting you back into alignment, fixing you up, making
Get
you feel better.
Shape.
So he's served for a number of years. And then we have the Danville Farmers Market. You've probably been hearing those announcements. They have another gathering, the Farmers Market, this Saturday, March 9th, and that'll be in Danville. So, yeah, we appreciate these advertisers that are taking an interest in the Prime Lifetimes and seeing the real benefit. Our 30,000-plus monthly readers, accessible in over 250 area locations.
Yeah, they'll find it somewhere.
So we appreciate a little shout-out for Joy Sheehan. She's over at the Mettler Center.
Oh, yeah.
She's a friend of Kathleen Jennings, and I've known her and Rob, her husband, for many years, but she allowed us to have a stand in the Mettler Center there and all sorts of different locations. We'll highlight them another time, but thank you, God, for the Prime Lifetimes, and look forward to seeing how he's going to use it in the days ahead. And before, we're going to read about chess. This is an interesting chapter, chapter 43, In Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins. I just wanted to do a shout-out for our beloved Sandy. her husband, the beloved Little Duder. Some of you maybe knew him as Carl, but most of the singing men knew him as Little Duder. Little Duder's now with the Lord, and he finished well.
Oh,
he had his memorial service. It was hosted at Meadowbrook Church last Saturday.
They did such a good job being hospitable, I thought.
The church was wonderful. The singing men, I thought, really sang their hearts out.
We loved
Little Duder. And his daughters, his three daughters, all shared. Well, actually, one really couldn't even get through her talk. That was the middle child.
Yay.
I talked with her afterwards.
Middle daughter.
Yeah. I cheered her on. I said, I'm a middle child, too. But she had her older sister, read her remarks.
Renee.
But all three of the remarks by the daughters would be what every father, husband, wife, for that
you
matter.
You said that at the end. It's so true. You said they were gems.
And oh, boy.
What man wouldn't be just so honored to
and
have
the fact that
in that?
Little Duder lived out that testimony.
Yeah, they proved it.
There were a number of Singing Men concerts in the past, usually at a prison ministry or when I just felt like God wanted us to have a testimony time and say, Little Duder, come up here. And then he would always tell everyone how he got the name Little Duder.
Oh, that's great.
When he was born, his grandmother said, oh, look at the Little Duder here.
Yeah,
so he would always share that, but then he would share that he had a lot of baggage in his life.
Yeah.
He made some mistakes. He was an alcoholic, and there were some things that he's not proud of.
Right.
But he said when God got a hold of his heart, so he always shared that testimony, which was a redemptive message for anyone that's failed or struggled through addictions or whatever it was. And yet, what I loved is he always said, now my wife Sandy, she prayed through this time period where I was acting out. She would remain faithful. She kept being a witness and a testimony to me, and he always honored her. And I think God gave him these many years to pay her back for some of the suffering or some of the heartache or just to be a good husband, a loving husband.
He was.
And they were just wonderful together.
Yeah.
They were a model little poster child of a good marriage. And Little Duder, everyone has a Little Duder story.
Yeah, they do.
He always, when we had set up a Great News Radio table, he'd always smuggle in the prayer cards. I was like, Carl, ask me ahead of time to put those cards on there.
Oh, yeah.
I gave him the okay, but he loved to pray for people. You shared some of that during the testimony
time. He sure did.
And he had a grandson that served in the military that attributed him getting through the carnage of war, if you will, or just what he had to see and witness. He said it was my granddad's role model and some of the advice and counsel he gave me.
That was powerful to me.
Yeah. And then Dee shared that great poem.
Yeah.
And she just came at a point in the service where she gets up front and we didn't have her go up onto the stage she was just that kind of cackle fun laugh that she has filled the room up
and that was fun.
Read a powerful story and the sharing from some of the singing men and then we got to sing and
you guys did such a great job.
Yeah, powerful. So that's I would think, speaking for everyone, it causes you to pause for a moment and to think, wow, these things that are being said about his character and his witness and his testimony and how Duder didn't have a stranger in his life.
Yeah.
He approached everyone and always with God-honoring comments or thoughts, or he would just witness. That was just a part of him. And so it would cause most all of us to pause and think, how am I doing that? How would people talk about me after my passing? You know, how am I treating my family? And you actually maybe knew Duder even better than me because you spent many hours with him, but I had many years with the singing men, and the fact that he would have dinner with his family around a table each and every night and all those camping trips, and I'm sure that caused many people or caused them to pause and think, what am I doing with my family? Am I putting them first? And he seemed to have his priorities in line, and then just the many testimonies about his patience.
Yeah.
Just how he,
I know, that really came through over and over, didn't it?
Yeah.
It did. I love the way that his oldest daughter said her dad, met the Lord and his life changed, and we, the kids, we knew it within 2 weeks. He was on it.
He was making up for lost time,
kids,
I think he said.
Yeah, I loved that.
Yeah,
that was really powerful.
In case you're just tuning in, who are they talking about? Carl Duderstadt, known as Little Duder, married to Sandy for many years. The last few years, because of his health issues, they've been living in Florida, but he lived right here in Urbana for many, many many years and drove a school bus for many years for the Urbana School District, I believe, and was a mechanic and a handyman for many people with car problems and a servant at large and volunteered and sang with the Singing Men almost from the very beginning.
Well, he really did not know any strangers. Yeah. You know, when I drove in that parking lot at the visitation time, it was packed.
Right.
I went in there and Sandy looked at me and she's like, I can't believe this. There's people. There were so many people. She said, there's people from our high school. She said, people are just like...
Yeah.
We haven't seen in years. They're just flowing in.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
He just knew so many people.
Yeah. We all thought about that. And a diverse grouping of people
from
all walks of life,
ages,
nationalities. And did you share that over the air at one point about those of you unfamiliar with this national prayer line called Faith Prayers, where anyone can call in literally at this point from any parts of the world?
Yeah, they can.
And there's a number of volunteers that, because of Marianne and the team, they can forward the calls to different people's homes so they can stay at home and pray and be accessible.
Uh-huh.
Well, why don't you tell a little of that story and then we'll have you read. But it's just so classic.
Yeah, people would like call in and I would answer. And he was so loved on that prayer line. I don't know how that many people figured out it was him. But, you know, they'd call from Nevada and say, like, I would answer and I would say, you know, can I pray for you? And they'd go, yeah, you know. And they'll be like, is Carl on the line? I'd say, no, it's my turn to pray. You know, I'm glad to pray for you. Is that okay? And there'd be this silence. They'd say, yeah. When is Carl on the line?
When will he be on duty next?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He was very sought after on that prayer line.
Yeah.
John Jennings and Kathleen were sitting next to me at the service, and people kept getting up and saying, Carl this and Carl that. And John leaned over to me. He said, I think this is the most I've ever heard him called Carl in my whole life.
Yeah, and then you would say, because Carl had such a tender heart for prayer and a heart for people, he would literally kneel down.
He would.
Yeah.
And pray in his house on his knees for these people on the phone. He would ask them to kneel too, but he would kneel. He'd say that to them. People don't forget that stuff.
Yeah. And during many of the Singing Men rehearsals, I'm looking back at the many years he kind of acted as chaplain, he would, in front of all the guys, he would kneel down when it came to prayer time.
Yep, I did not know that.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. You just don't find many people that are that committed to being in front of God in that way, that fashion.
Yeah. Our beloved little Duder is with the Lord, celebrating his just reward, the reward that the Lord has given him, a new body and health. And
who was it that said, we hope you're watching us, but we know you may not be because your reception line surely isn't over.
There's so many people greeting him and celebrating with him that
he's
like, doesn't have time right now to be viewing this thing.
Dealing with us.
Well, Sandy, our hearts go out to you and our prayers and our hugs and our care. And, you know, it's obviously a time of grieving and it's a time of growth and it's a time of leaning into God. And I've heard people say this in the past where there's a transitional time where, in a sense, God will fulfill some of these roles. He'll be your ever comfort.
Yeah,
He'll be there,
sure will.
Your companion and your helpmeet during this time.
Walk right beside you.
And, you know, lean into Him. He cares for you more than any of us could possibly. And know that it was time for Him to bring Carl home. I don't want to give those little pat answers, but Carl had fulfilled his duty. He finished well. He was beloved. And Sandy, we just care for you and look forward to seeing what God's going to continue to do in your life.
Yeah, sure do.
Yeah. Hey, Marianne, how about you praying up, Sandy? And those that are struggling with their loved one is ill and maybe they're near death's door, or some that are still hurting or aching, or for those that are young and aren't even thinking about death because they have so much life in them. But maybe just a prayer.
Sure, Dearest God, we pray for the strongest protection and safety upon each one of us and each one of your people. We pray that nothing evil could touch us, that your safety net would be so strong, so that, Lord, when it is time for us to go home, that you're right there, still holding on to our hands, just like you did Carl in that bed, in that struggling to breathe and everything he went through. You held on to his hand right up there to the end and beyond. And, Lord, I pray that for everybody. And, Lord, I pray that you would take Sandy's hand and you would just hold her hand so carefully and gently and never let go. Lord, I just know that you have great things in store for her peaceful, beautiful, wonderful, meaningful things. Mm. I pray that that knowledge and that reality would fall upon her and you'd walk her through these days in tremendous peace. Lord, thank you for Sandy Duderstadt and the tremendous blessing she has been to so many people. Mm. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, we have fond memories of little Duder, and
yes, we have
fond memories of an African son because you've been reading chapters for many, many weeks.
Well, thank
and
you.
And today's chapter, chapter 43, is titled Chess.
Chess, yeah, that's true. Okay, I will read it. I learned to play chess under a hot African sun in Ghana. It was one of the few board games that we had in the house, and my father spent hours teaching me. We would carry out the small, square, beaten-up wooden table with the sturdy legs, along with two wooden chairs, and position them in the yard as near the tree as possible, so we at least had some shade from the glaring sun, and we would play our game of chess. My father, who had meticulously taught me the names of the southern sky constellations on dark, starry nights in Zimbabwe, and who thought that the Koine Greek language was a useful thing to teach a 10-year-old, now set about teaching me, by the hour, how to play chess. A highly busy man, gone for hours to do mission work, he made sure to take some time out in the late afternoon to teach me something. For many months, that something was chess. Hmm. My father, who had grown up in unusual and hard circumstances, seemed to pay scant attention to the theory that one is only capable of learning certain things at certain ages.
I held the bar high.
Yeah, he did. He could somehow teach anything in an age-appropriate way. It was a gift he had. He simply taught whatever was in front of him to teach, at whatever age I happened to be at the moment. We often read large chunks of the encyclopedia together, and he made it seem enthralling. We had an old phonograph, and he had some records of various operas, so we enjoyed those, too. Today's views that kindergarten children can learn three languages at once would have made perfect sense to him. Mm-hmm. For weeks, my father sort of played both sides of our chessboard, playing his own while giving me his best suggestions and thoughts on how to play my side. Sometimes he let me make the move without any aid. At other times, we plotted together what my best moves would be. He was as delighted when my side won as he was his own. And I can still hear that characteristic laugh and joy at my win. But then the day came, one hot afternoon under the tree, when he looked across the little wooden table with a glint in his eye and said, "I'm not going to just let you win anymore." Mm. The initial training was over. We would now play for real. I always felt like I somehow grew up that afternoon. Not that there wasn't a lot of growing up left to do, but I cannot forget the strange feeling that overcame me. I had to fight for my side of the board now. It was mine to win or lose. What happened next was that I lost countless games in a row, all the games, in fact, for the next months. But my spirit wasn't broken. The teaching now came after the game, going back over what I could have done, finding better thought-out strategies. But then the day came when I won my first game of chess. Mm. Even now, I wonder if my father was not distracted with work that day, but whether he was or not, I won, fair and square. And he hadn't let me. His excitement at my win was as great as my own. I wonder if sometimes God doesn't teach us the way my father taught me. Intense, one-on-one at the beginning, and then having us stand on our own a bit, at least not rehashing over and over only what we've already learned. Maybe we're expected to kind of hold on to those initial steps ourselves. We're never on our own with God. We can't do any of his work or follow his will without his power running through us, without the Holy Spirit's power charging our efforts. He made the air we're breathing. But perhaps, sometimes, we don't acknowledge the fact that we're expected to hold firm on the things we've already learned, to sort of stand on them with some of our own strength, while he pushes us on to learn other, different things. I went on to win a few more chess games with my father, though not many. My father was a very good chess player. I was never one of the best. I've been beaten at chess many times. But what mattered is that I had learned, and I could play remarkably well for my age. The one thing I have not forgotten about chess is that it's necessary to think ahead, to plan and consider options. It was ingrained in me all those afternoons in the sun as we played, brushing sweat from our foreheads and drinking our glasses of water. And while I may still need to learn a lot more about the importance of forethought, in fact, I know that I do, I have not lost the basic principle. And maybe that, too, is what God does when He teaches us. He wants it ingrained. Not so much the details of every situation we go through, but the principles, the concepts, what we learned, and what we can take from those situations. Perhaps something along these lines is what the writer of Hebrews was thinking when he wrote with some frustration to his readers. In fact, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Hebrews 5, 12-14. I know I need to keep holding on to what I've learned and also keep growing. May God help us all to grow up a little more each day. Father, help me to stand firm on what I've already learned about Your Word, about Your ways, and about You. I don't want all You've taught me in my life to be in vain. I don't want You to have to keep reteaching me what You and I have already gone through. I want to hold on to it. I want to build from that base. I want to go forward. I want to incorporate Your teachings and move ahead to more understanding. Let me not be as one who looks in the mirror and goes away, forgetting what he saw, but as one who is a doer, not just a hearer.
Wow, you know, I'm thinking your prayer, that was, if you will, maybe the prayer of little Deuter many times, because when his family and everyone said, when he grasped the concept that God loved him, that he was redeemed, that he was forgiven of his sins, he changed overnight, and then he was very intentional from the get-go to change, to be a different person, to be a loving husband, a better father.
And he followed it all the way through.
All the way through. He went forward, and he wanted to incorporate the Lord's teaching. He read his Bible. He loved Scripture.
That's good.
Praying, and our beloved little Deuter, if you tuned in just during Marianne's reading, we talked about little Deuter, Carl Deuterstadt, who went home to be with the Lord about a month ago. He lived in the Urbana area for many years, he and his wife Sandy, and he's survived by his three daughters and grandsons and grandchildren, I think. Great-grandchildren, too. Yeah, that's right. One of his daughters was going to be a grandma.
I think that's right.
But anyways, the last couple of years he's been in Florida, struggling through some health issues. Issues and recently went to be with the Lord, is now in glory, but I would say this chapter represented some of his life and the learning that he took, and he grew in his relationship with the Lord throughout his life. So.
One thing you can say about Carl Deuterstadt is he loved God, and he was loved by many people.
Very faithful to the very end. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.